It is good that we have an opportunity to come together and worship our God in heaven. We do this on a regular basis, but we don't ever need to let that become routine in our minds and our thinking. We are here to praise our awesome God. That's what life is all about. And every time I come together with brethren here and other places to sing songs of praise to His holy name, to read Scripture and to pray to Him, fills my heart with encouragement as I look forward to the day when I can be with my Father in heaven. We are have a desire and mindset to honor God and to honor Jesus Christ. I trust that we've been doing that this morning. Appreciate the songs, the Scripture reading, and all that has been done leading up to that. And I want to suggest this morning to each of us that this is the time of the year when many people remember Jesus Christ. Most people in the religious world, I think, do so in terms of a Christmas celebration that takes place once a year on December 24th, December 25th. I get that one right. But the focus in the denominational world is on the birth of Jesus Christ. And His birth was remarkable in many ways. We certainly never want to forget the Bible accounts of His birth. But I want to suggest to you this morning that it is important to remember Jesus Christ, and it's also important to remember Him the way that He has specified for us to do so. And while most people in the world have chosen to remember the birth of Christ, and we certainly want to do that, but they do that in a once-a-year type of fashion, the Bible gives us a different perspective, a different emphasis. And so my obligation is to speak God's Word, to reveal His truth, so that it can transform our lives, so that we can be faithful to Him as we seek to do His will. So this lesson this morning is a contrast between really man's way of remembering Jesus Christ and honoring Jesus Christ in the way that God has really spelled out in Scripture how He wants us to honor Him. And I want to say at the beginning of the lesson that these are my observations. You may have some different perspectives on that from what I'm talking about here. But I want to focus on how the Bible where the Bible places the emphasis on in terms of remembering Jesus Christ. Again, this is a contrast between two different ways, the human focus and the divine focus. And I want to be fair to everybody who seeks to remember Jesus Christ. But again, we want to look at Scripture and see the contrast that God has given to us and make sure that we're being faithful to Him. Well, let's look at the first thought as we think about how the religious world and our culture today remembers Jesus Christ. They generally, at this time of the year, focus on His birth, remember the birth of Jesus Christ. And again, I'll raise some questions. Was Jesus' birth significant? Yes, it was. Do we remember His birth? Absolutely. Are we thankful that He was born? Sure we are. But does anybody actually know when Jesus was born? Actually, there's not a person on earth who knows that. You can check all the encyclopedias, all the websites, but nobody knows when He was born. Did God ever tell us to set aside one day in the year as a holy day to remember the birth of His Son? No, He never did that. Who established December 25th as the birthday of Jesus Christ? Well, the Catholic Church did that about the 3rd century A.D. I didn't look at that recently, but they're the ones who established that. Of course, most of you know I was raised in a Catholic church. And the word Christmas means the Mass of Christ. That's what the word itself means. Well, is it good to remember Jesus' birth? Absolutely. We can read about His accounts, the accounts of His birth in Matthew chapter 1 and in Luke chapter 2. But what does the Bible emphasize about remembering Him? That's what we have been talking about this morning. What is the heavenly focus? Well, by contrast, in Scripture, maybe it surprises some people, but God isn't really putting the emphasis on remembering the birth of His Son. We certainly are thankful for that. But it's on remembering the death of Jesus. In fact, the classes that we've been having really tie in to what I'll be talking about this morning. Look at Luke chapter 22 with me, one of the passages that we read in our study this morning, our Bible class. In Luke chapter 22 and verses 14 down to verse 19, this is, of course, the institution of the Lord's Supper during the last Passover meal Jesus had with His disciples. And it says, when the hour had come, He reclined at the table and His apostles with Him. And He said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. When he had taken a cup and given thanks, he said, take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. And here's the direct command. Do this in remembrance of me. Curtis has done a fabulous job this morning of helping us perhaps to understand all these different parallel accounts in the Synoptic Gospels of the institution of the Lord's Supper. But the point is, when God says to remember his Son, what did he say? Do this, take this bread, as we have just done, drink this fruit of the vine, as we have just done, to remember the death of his Son. We certainly want to remember his birth, and that was significant. But in terms of biblical commands and biblical authority, what Jesus tells us to do is to eat this bread and drink this cup in memory of him, of what he was going to do for them. And again, if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we'll be sure looking at that in our Sunday morning Bible class in the near future. But look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11 with me. And again, this is a passage that conveys God's word to us concerning the Lord's Supper. And in verse 23, this is what Paul writes to the Christians there at Corinth. He says, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes, until he returns. Again, a couple of simple observations. Verse 23 reminds us that the Apostle Paul said that he received this instruction, this command from the Lord himself. He said, for I received from the Lord that which I delivered to you. So the instruction about remembering the death of Jesus Christ comes from God himself, comes from Jesus Christ. And Paul says that. Again, in verse 24, as he talks about the Lord's Supper, he said, when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this. There's the action that we talked about this morning. Do this in remembrance of me. Verse 25, again, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So the question is, what does the Bible communicate to us in terms of what we need to remember? Well, it certainly focuses our attention on Jesus' death. Again, as we, and again, I'm making these observations myself. These are my personal opinions, and you could have some differences from that. But it seems to me that the focus at this time of the year, as we talk about Christmas, is on the little baby Jesus. We see the manger and the shepherds and all that around there. But it's really kind of pointing our eyes to his birth, and doing so, we think about that little baby in this little, like a feeding trough was basically what it would have been. That was his humble beginning. And again, is it good to see Jesus as a little baby? I think it is. I think it reminds us of his humanity. It helps us to relate to him. But again, and from the human perspective, the attention seems to be always on these things. They may talk about his death. They may talk about the Lord's Supper. But the emphasis really seems to be more and more on, and some, especially some of the drama connected with that. I'm afraid, brethren, that sometimes we in the Lord's body and conservative churches of Christ are not aware of what's happening out there in the world, how our own brethren are becoming more and more like denominations in terms of observing, making Christmas an actual day of worship, a memorial that is to be observed. Here's a clipping that one of the members here gave me. It just mentions that the Harpeth Hills Church of Christ is setting up a live nativity as part of its Christmas celebration. It's the 10th year of their display. Observing the birth of Christ as a religious holy day. That's what I did when I was raised in a Catholic church. And again, the point is we want to remember him and even see Jesus as a baby. But what's the emphasis in Scripture? The emphasis is always placed on his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And so again, we want to appreciate every facet of Jesus' life, even his birth, but being careful not to establish holy days that God has not established. And so from the divine perspective, instead of focusing on this little baby Jesus, that's not where he is now. Where is Jesus right now? He's a heavenly ruler. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of glory. And we need to keep it in that perspective. Look again, actually another passage I wanted to look at this morning was one that Gilbert read part of in Ephesians chapter 1 that does give us a picture of Jesus Christ in his place of authority and power. And again, I'm just going to go ahead and jump into the middle of verse 18. Verse 18, Paul says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. And he said, these are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. That's where Jesus is right now, seated at God's right hand in the heavenly places. It says, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, in every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him his head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So how do we see Jesus? How does God want us to see him? Where's the biblical focus on that? We see him. Yes, we can appreciate him as a little baby, and that was the early stages of his life. But we see him as the one who is ruling at God's right hand with absolute power and authority. And I think we need to keep it in that perspective. Let's make a few other observations as we continue to apply scriptural truth to our lives. Again, at this time of the year, the focus is really on this lowly Jesus in the manger, his humble beginnings. And when you stop and think about it, God's plan is remarkable, that his son came into the world not as a glorious king at birth, but he came in as a baby, humble, having to have the early beginnings, like I said, in a feeding trough. Just unbelievable that God would do that. But he did that because he wanted Jesus to taste of our humanity. But then he, of course, went on to fulfill his purpose in being the Savior of the world and is ultimately glorified. And again, did Jesus have a lowly beginning? Surely he did. And should we appreciate his humble beginning? Certainly we should. And we should imitate his humility that he manifested as he submitted his will to his Father's will. But again, the question is, where is the emphasis in Scripture? We appreciate his humble beginnings, but that's not where he is now. Now, he is at God's right hand in the highest place of honor. And so, again, look at this passage with me in Philippians chapter 2. And this passage actually communicates both of these pictures to us. In Philippians chapter 2, I'm going to begin reading in verse 3. Some great instruction for all of us from the Apostle Paul. He said, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also the interest of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, says, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. For this reason, Paul says, for this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So while we appreciate Jesus' humble beginnings, what we see in Scripture is Jesus is the one who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, has a name above all names, and one day every knee will bow, not to just the baby Jesus in a manger, but they will bow to Jesus as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Every single person who has ever lived will bend the knee to the glorious King of God, the Son of God. And so we want to keep our focus in the proper perspective and really remember Jesus the way God tells us to, which is really always on his death, his suffering, and really his resurrection, which was the crowning miracle, Paul says in Romans chapter 1, by which Jesus was declared to be the Son of God with power, his resurrection from the grave. So again, we want to see that contrast. Here's another way that in our culture, the religious world wants to remember Jesus, as most of you know, maybe some of you don't know. We, of course, take the Lord's Supper every week, every first day of the week, as we find the instructions in Scripture to do so. But that's not the case in the religious world. Very often they have communion maybe once a year or twice a year. I noticed on one of the marquees of a local church right there in Hendersonville on the street that we live on or off of it, that they were having a communion service. I think it was either this past Wednesday or this coming Wednesday, because they don't have communion services every week. They do that maybe once a year. Well, when you look at Scripture, is that what God shows us? Well, in Scripture, the divine focus is on communing with Christ every week. Why wait for some celebration like this? And again, from the denominational world, now, so often it may be a communion service at the, quote, Easter time of the year, or maybe something else, but some of them may well be just at the Christmas season. But again, the passage that was read for us this morning in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7 shows us what the early disciples did, what Luke and the others did when they came together on the first day of the week. It mentions there in verse 6, and Luke is speaking, he says, "We sailed from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came to them at Troas within 5 days, and there we stayed 7 days. And on the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul began talking to them, intending to leave the next day, and he prolonged his message until midnight." So Luke's saying that we waited around so that we could meet with the brethren in Troas and observe the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. And so when you look at the human focus, is perhaps to have a communion service maybe once, twice a year. The divine focus is to have communion every week. And we've been talking about this in our Sunday morning class. And to me, of course, there's lots of things I certainly don't understand about the Lord's Supper, and we'll continue to discuss those things. But to me, it seems to me that what Jesus wants and is looking forward to is that as he is with his disciples at that last Passover, he's looking forward to the time when he can be with his disciples. He can have fellowship with us. And so oftentimes when we take the Lord's Supper, we talk about gathering around the table of the Lord. That no, he's not drinking the grape juice and eating the bread physically with us, but he is there in his presence. So we eat in his presence, we drink in his presence, we worship in his presence. He is there, he is with us. That's why it's so important for us to come together and worship our God, because this is the opportunity for us to commune with our Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ. So again, the human focus is perhaps to have a communion with Christ once a year. The divine focus is to have communion every week. Again, to kind of bring this all together, the human focus is not just to remember the birth of Christ, but to celebrate it. And I want to suggest to you that when you look at Jesus' birth, it is something that we celebrate, that we rejoice over his birth. But from a human perspective, the way the religious world seeks to honor Jesus Christ is to have a once a year, what I call, and others have called, a bigger than life, huge kind of event and celebration. Oh, we're going to remember the birth of Jesus Christ. Well, we do remember his birth. We do rejoice in his birth. But again, did Jesus anywhere tell us to establish one day as an annual memorial to remember his birth? No. He never did. Now, don't you think if the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory, Jesus Christ himself, wanted us to pick out one day and set that as an annual memorial to him, he would have told us to do so? Sure he would have. What did he tell us to do? Well, in Scripture, the divine focus is on his death, it's on his burial, it's on his resurrection. That's what frees us from the power of sin. Again, go back to Matthew chapter 26 with me. Again, we've been looking at the Lord's Supper in our Sunday morning class, and so there's some repetition here, but hopefully it's helpful and beneficial to all of us. But again, notice in the institution of the Lord's Supper, Matthew chapter 26, and in verse 29, after Jesus talked about, he gave the command to eat his body and to drink the blood. And he said in verse 29, but I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. So he's talking about after his death, after his suffering, after his entombment, after his burial in the ground, he's going to rise from the grave, never to die again. And so in the Lord's Supper, we're remembering his death, we're remembering his burial, but we're also remembering his resurrection every single week. And so the point that I would make this morning, I bring the lesson in the spirit of love and compassion for you and out of respect for God and his word, but want to suggest to each one of us that it's important to remember Jesus Christ, but it's critical that we remember him and worship him in the way that he specified. And some of these other things seem so good, it may even seem natural to say, let's have a great big celebration and make this a, like in my background, raised in the Catholic Church, Christmas was a holy day of obligation. It was one of the things, if you didn't go to church on that day, you committed a mortal sin. And I'm going way back in my childhood and all that. But it was a day that was set aside as a holy day of worship. And we want to remember Jesus, but we want to remember him and worship him the way he specified. And the greatest challenge to us as human beings is not to run ahead in our own judgment, our own way of thinking, and think, well, surely God would be impressed if we did all this great big stuff and had all this fanfare and this once a year celebration and maybe put a communion service in there. Why not just do what he tells us to do? Why not just read the word of God and do it and obey his word? None of us are perfect, but we want to be faithful to God as we seek to honor him. And that's what we do here at Broadmoor, to preach his word. As we extend the invitation this morning, I want to suggest to you that we do want to remember Jesus Christ. But what that means is that we remember his words. We remember his teaching. We remember his truth. We remember his commands that he has given to us. He tells us how to be forgiven of our sins, yet much of the religious world has ignored that as well. And they tell people you can be saved by saying the sinner's prayer. That's not in Scripture. So why not just do what he tells us to do? To be saved from our sins, we have to believe that he is the Messiah. And I trust that all of us do. We must be willing to repent of our sins. And that's the hardest thing for humans to do. And we sometimes stress baptism, and baptism is really important. And I'm talking about baptism in water. Being immersed in water is the way God wants you to be forgiven of your sins. But before you get in the tank of water behind me, you've got to get on your knees and be willing to forsake your sins. And as Christians, we must be willing to continually turn from a life of sin. So to become a Christian, you believe that Jesus is the Messiah, repent of your sins, acknowledge to God that your sins have offended him, confess your faith in him, and be baptized in water to have your sins forgiven. If you haven't done that, I urge you to do what Jesus tells you to do. Don't do what Mike says, or Jeremy, or Gary, or anybody else. Do what the King of Kings tells you to do. Do what the one who hung on the cross for your sins and for my sins tells you to do. We don't make this up. It doesn't benefit me to get people baptized if they're not really committed to Jesus Christ. Do what Jesus tells you to do. Remember him and honor him by remembering his words and his teaching. It may be that you've done that. Maybe that you've strayed in your faith and you need to reconnect with the family of God here at Broadmoor. What a wonderful opportunity to do that this morning. Come before us, seeking our prayers and our comfort for you. We would pray with you and for you as you reconnect to Jesus Christ, the one who hung on the cross for your sins and for my sins. If you're here this morning, if there's any way we can encourage you to serve God and or to renew your life and your service to him, come forward while we stand and sing this invitation song.
Thine light is the light.